Hi everyone, thanks for joining me today. We're going to be looking at how to set up an essential marketing plan for early child, early years services. So when I say that we're encompassing family daycare, family child care, so those educators working from home and running their own business from home. It's also early learning centres. So in Australia, we call that long daycare, but I know we have a lot of people watching that from different services around the world. So I'm just keeping that towards more of a centre-based service, nurseries, no matter what you call it in your area. I'm just making that distinction between that the content here is suitable for those of you working from home and those working in a centre-based environment, because although they have very different marketing needs, I've tried to include a little bit of something for everyone, and I'll make a certain note as we go through if there's anything I think you should be aware of for your particular service. So are you ready to dive in? Let's get started with today's workshop. So first we're going to talk about what is a marketing plan, and this is the basis of our whole workshop, because I see a lot of educators that really don't have any sort of strategy in place, and especially if you're working in family daycare, because when you're in a center environment, quite often, especially nowadays, there is a head office, and so you don't have to worry about it, or it's the director's role or the educational leader, and you might just get asked to do certain aspects of this overall strategy. But I know we have many leaders and directors, and it's also in our group here watching, but it's also important that you have an understanding, because you're going to move through into different roles as you work through early childhood. And we really want to think about an overall strategy rather than just thinking about what's, a month ahead, or, oh, hang on, it's the start of a new year and I've got vacancies and we need to fill them. I better do some promo. So I want to give you a few steps and a few strategies. And that starts with a marketing overview, a marketing plan. And it doesn't really matter what format it's in. The format's flexible. You could be just doing this in your notebook, old school style, writing it out, or you might choose to do it on, your computer. You might create a Google document. You might create just a Word doc. You might just be typing some notes into your iPad. It doesn't matter. It just matters that you're going to create an overview of the next month, the next quarter, and essentially the year ahead. But you want to do it in stages. Don't try and do the whole year all at once. Do a bit of brainstorming, and I'll give you some strategies to get there first. But I like to look in terms of the next for each quarter. So here in Australia, with our financial year being a little bit different, but everyone has those quarters. So quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four, and then we're at the end of the year again. So let's look at how you might start including something into your marketing plan, because we want the overall goal here is that we want not just people to be seeing your service name when you need to fill vacancies. We want it to be top of mind all the time when someone, it might be the beginning of the year, it might be middle of the year, they might have just moved into the area, it could be any time, but they're asking in Facebook groups, what childcare service do you recommend? What family daycare do you recommend for this area? My child's just turned two and I'm looking for family daycare. Think about, you want to be top of mind. You want to be at the very top of that services to visit list when those families and carers begin that journey of looking for childcare. So, and it could be that they've had older siblings go through childcare, but now they're looking for something different, or it's been a while, they're jumping back in. You never know when someone's looking or is reaching that stage in their family dynamic. So it's best that you have this strategy going forward to ensure that you are the person that, you're going to be top of mind. You're the one that people recommend, or that they say, oh, I've heard the name such and such family daycare or early learning service, and I was thinking that might be a good one. Can you tell me something about that? So what could it include? We want to have some business goals that you're going to work towards. You might have a timeline of events and celebrations and any planned promotions that your center or service usually does on a regular basis, or some things that you'd like to try including differently. You need to have a description of your target market and its core needs. So yes, that's families, but I'm going to show you why it's not just any family. A way to measure results and the effectiveness of any paid promotions, because we can do a lot of promotion without spending and having a big marketing budget. But depending on, you know, the type of service you're with, obviously, if you're running your own family daycare, you're not going to have the same budget as, say, one of the large corporate-based centers that obviously have a marketing budget and promotion people and all that great stuff. But it doesn't matter. But the money that you do spend is very, very important, obviously. So you want to make sure you're measuring, you know, how effective that those paid promotions are, and make sure you're not wasting your money, basically. A plan of action that fosters your brand. So I'm going to give you some tips about how to create your brand throughout this workshop. Because, as I say again, you want to be recognizable and you want to be known as consistent and credible. So when people talk about you, you know, your reputation speaks for itself. People have good things to say, and there's lots of positive vibes out there when someone mentions your name or recognizes your brand somewhere. Actions and strategies that are realistic and affordable for your time and budget. So it's great to have these huge ideas and see these, you know, huge promotions with everything, every logo, you know, the logo plastered over the tents and the balloons and everything else. But you've got to think in terms of your own service and your time that's available and your budget that's available, and then work your goals from there. So to help you take action, I have included a marketing plan PDF under this video. So I would suggest after this video that you, or even stop now and just open it up as your PDF so you can have a look at that and see what I'm talking about. But it's very basic, because I kept it very simple, and it will just help you start creating your outline. And we're going to go through a lot of the questions that are in that marketing plan here in the workshop and just give you a bit more detail so you can go back then and use that as a base. You don't have to use that outline. You can use your own, but I thought it might give you a bit of a starting point and help you just clarify some of the goals you want to achieve with setting up your marketing plan. So make sure you look for that, or press pause on the video and go and print that out if you like now, so you can fill in some answers to the questions as we go along. They're not all the same questions, but it's on the same path. And hopefully that will give you a bit of an idea as we're going along. And as you finish this workshop, you can revisit that and start asking those questions. And it's also a really useful tool if you're working with a team to, you know, help them start thinking in terms of, you know, the role they can play in your marketing and promotion as well. So decide how often you'll review your marketing plan. That's really important. And what specific information will you collect to tell you whether a strategy was effective or perhaps not really worth your time and money and you're not going to do it again, or perhaps you had that scheduled in for another promotion near the end of the year and you're now thinking, I might change that up for something different. Because I don't want you wasting money and I don't want you wasting time. I know you don't have a lot of either, been there, done that. When I was promoting my family daycare, I used a lot of the things that I'm going to share here with you. And I've also worked as a director and leaders and worked closely with owners and services to promote their centers when I was working there as well. So I'm sort of speaking from both sides of the spectrum here, and there's always a role for everyone, and it doesn't matter what your budget is. We just want to make sure that what you do have is being used effectively. So, I know you're saying to me, I don't have time for this, Jody. Why do I need a marketing plan? I'm not a big business. I just do it when I've got some vacancies. Well, we want to get you away from that, because I want to help you to create security and consistent income, especially if you're a family daycare educator, because you are the one who needs to compete in today's growing early years market. We all know there's a lot of competition out there now. you have to stand out. It's up to you to show why you should be a parent or carer's first choice to visit. Now, that's even, I encourage family daycare educators, even if their service, I know some schemes, some coordination units do the advertising for you. I still encourage family daycare educators to also do their own advertising, or at the very least, make sure you've got a bit of a plan and you're asking questions of your scheme about how you could be better promoting your service, because you want to compete and you're also competing against other educators as well. But especially for centers, even if you're part of a big chain of centers, there's still things you need to do as a single single center to ensure your job security, because if this center's not doing well, then jobs are going to be lost as well. So you've got to have some input into this promotion and marketing as well. You want to raise awareness. A marketing plan will help you. It'll make it a lot easier, trust me guys, to clearly communicate to families and carers that are in your local community about all these fantastic services that you offer and what's unique and individual about your service and why your name will be the name people remember because they, you know, saw it somewhere heard it from someone. We want you to be the one that stands out, and being organized and being a little bit strategic and ahead of the game is going to give you a really big lift up and hopefully help you to get off that vacancy roller coaster that we all have experienced at some time, you know, where we quite often we're full and we think everything's great, and then all of a sudden two families have pulled out of your family daycare. That can make a big difference, and suddenly you're down to only, you know, two kids per day instead of four. And the same in childcare. You might have some in centers, I should say, because you might have one, you know, the toddler baby room is full, but the preschool room or the 3 to 5s is, you know, has really dropped off, and they're trying to fill those vacancies, and then it all gets a bit much with, you know, staff being swapped around and shifts and all that good stuff. So we want to put in place a marketing strategy. Even though you might think of it as time consuming and expensive, I find that educators that talk to me and leaders that say, you know, it is time consuming, it is expensive, I don't have the bandwidth for this at the moment, we just put an ad out when we need to fill those vacancies, or there's a real push at the beginning of the year and halfway through the year, and then we just leave it at that. So you focus on it one or two times a year, but then people start complaining when, you know, I quite often get told, but nothing seems to work and vacancies remain. And I'm not saying that this, having a marketing plan, is going to solve all your problems, and of course, and having some great promotion ideas is going to make sure that you don't never have vacancies again. There's no magic bullet, obviously, and I don't want to promise you that. But what I will say is it's going to give you a lot better chance if you are consistent and strategic and have some goals in place that you want to achieve during your year, rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to do some promos because, you know, I've got some vacancies in place now. So that's where we're heading to. I just want to help you get off that roller coaster a little bit of, oh, we're full, oh, suddenly I've got vacancies again. Oh, it's good, no, I've got vacancies. We want to get you to that place that you're seen and you're in demand. You're not the one who's waiting in line. Others are waiting in line to access your services. And especially in today's COVID era, I know things have been tough, and there's a lot of other elements in play as to why you might have vacancies with, you know, there's restrictions and parents having to work from home, people pulling children out of childcare because they're worried about the health and hygiene. And, you know, then there's others that are quite full with essential workers. So I know there's other elements in play, but by having a plan, at least it gives you a much better, it helps you to feel empowered and assertive rather than just relying on, people to enroll with your service when you're not, you know, the one that's seen as the one to be. You know, if there's less people wanting that childcare service in your area, then you want to make damn sure that you're the one at the top of the list that people are thinking of. Whether you're family daycare or whether you're an early years learning center, or perhaps there's only a few in your community, a small rural community, or there's a lot and you're in the middle of Sydney or somewhere. You want to make sure that you are top of mind and not, you know, waiting in the line and saying, oh, pick me, pick me. You want people to be saying, I want you, I want you. So a plan gives you that opportunity to save your time and money, and that's what we want, but also compete with others. And it gives you regular promotions and marketing campaigns. You'll know throughout the year that you've got them planned, and this will ensure you have a waiting list to work with if everything goes well and hopefully, you know, nothing else major happens, instead of that familiar scramble to fill vacancies all the time, you know, at that up and down sort of roller coaster. So how does that sound? Does it sound good? Please don't think, I'm not trying to say that this is magic and everything will be wonderful and you'll never have vacancies, as I said, but it's certainly going to give you a leg up, and that's the aim of this workshop. So where do you start though with this marketing plan? How can you build your plan without it taking a whole lot of time and energy? I mean, you do have to put some effort in, guys. I'm not kidding. And, you know, I now do this at the beginning of every year for the Empowered Educator as well. But I used to do it on a smaller scale for Jode's Family Daycare as well. And as I said, I've worked with others to create marketing plans in community services that I've worked in, for the government, when I've worked for the government. Doing family support agency work, and I've also done it with childcare agency and centres. And you know, these are the core things that I always go into. I've drilled them right down. I've broken it right down quite simply so that I don't want to overwhelm anyone. You know, we're not professional marketers by any means, but these are the things that I know work. So I wanted to share them with you and help you build out your plan step by step. And your marketing plan template that I gave you, the PDF, is going to help you with that as well. So you want to identify and summarize any goals that you might have, define your identity and mission, understand your target market, and that's a really important one. Recognize and understand competitors, your brand story. I'm going to show you how to create that. You need to create that brand story and reputation. You know how I'm saying, if you want to be the top of mind, but you certainly, if you're top of mind, you don't want it to be for the negative reasons. You want it to be for a positive reason, that people think you're great. Promotion activities and calendar. So you want to get some promotion activities. When we're talking about a marketing plan, we're not just talking about, a lot of people say, oh, I've already got some promotions planned. We're going to do, you know, the balloons at the shopping center, and we've got a fun day planned over here. But it's all very just here and there, and there's no real strategy there tying everything together. So you want a marketing strategy that helps you to do this and keep the ball rolling day after day. So we don't want a little bit here and there, because I don't want you to drop the ball, because that's when vacancies will grow and your competition could gain that ground that you worked so hard to, to gain yourself. But what are your specific goals? So you've got to think about your goals. Why do you want to put more effort and strategy into marketing and promoting your service now? What do you really want to achieve overall? It can be really helpful, instead of just saying, I don't want to have vacancies, to think about, what does that really mean for you? So we want you to set your goals and then plan ahead from there. In MemberHub, there's lots of goal setting tools for you to work with that you can use. I'll try and link to some of them under this video as well for you. What do I want? But ask yourself these questions. What do I want to achieve with this marketing plan? So what are your goals and purpose? What changes might you want to make? How will I know this plan has been successful? What are the indicators and objectives that will tell you whether a plan is working? What time period and budget does this plan require? And who else will be involved? And this is important, especially if you're working in a center and you're in the leadership role, and perhaps you're working with head office or you're working with a director on this marketing and promotion strategy for the year. But you also want to be able to involve other educators and staff in your service so that everyone can be working towards a common goal as well. Because when the centre's full, then that means job security for everyone else as well and a happier environment. And when you're thinking about your goals and what you want to achieve, think in terms of, you know how I said we're not just going to think about, I just want to fill vacancies, which is a great goal, but perhaps you want to have, you want to your income to be 10% more than it was by June this year than it was last year. Perhaps you want to have more families filling the preschool room than you did at this time last. Try and be specific. Whatever your, this is personal to you, so it's hard for me to give you a goal, but you know, try and just drill it down a little bit. What would make you feel more confident that your marketing could do? Do you want to raise awareness in the community? Do you feel like no one knows you're there? Do you want to be the one that gets mentioned in the Facebook groups? Do you want to have more of a social media presence? Do you want to have a new logo? So all of these different things, just try and break down a couple of little goals that you could add into your plan. Now let's think about the customer. Before you begin putting time, effort, and probably a little money into marketing, you don't have to, but as you grow, you'll want to put at least, it still even costs money just to print things out or photocopy and do that sort of stuff. You need to know who you should be marketing to. So it might surprise you to know that trying to connect with and attract new enrollments from, you know, a really wide, deep pool of potential customers is actually not as effective as if you just wade into that shallow end. So what I mean by that is if you really narrow that field down. Some people would call that a niche. It's talking about, for example, with the Empowered Educator, I do target customers that educators that work with, in early childhood and also outside school hours care, but I don't target primary school teachers. I don't target high school teachers. There's other things, but that's just narrowing it down a little bit. But you want to really drill down because every community is different. The family dynamics are different in different areas and different parts of the world. So you want to really get clear on who your target market is. Because let's face it, guys, even if you're running a family daycare or a service and you're just working there, it is a business. You're putting your time and money and effort into this. So these people are customers. Yes, they're families. Yes, they're children. Yes, they're important, but they are also a customer. You are running a business, so you need to treat it as such. So think about your community and the current families enrolled and using your service, and you'll find most of these questions in your plan, your guide as well. And think about some of these things. You don't have to answer all of these, and you might do these through surveys, you might do them through just some research in your area, collaborating with your local community services, your council. What is the average income level? Do they tend to regularly use, so you're building up a profile here, do they tend to regularly use 1 to 3 days or 5 to 7 days of care? Is that shift work or is it for, are they studying? Are they, working or non-working parents? Are they essential workers? All these sorts of things. Consider surveying your current service users to gain some better insights about what's going on, and what sort of market you already have in using your service. Why do they need care? What is the breakdown and ratio of working versus non-working, you know, like I just talked about, versus studying versus shift work? What do they value? What do they find important? And you should be collecting this information regularly via your enrollments, your orientations, and those sort of things anyway. But a survey is also a good idea. And I'll link below the video to our survey tools inside MemberHub. I've created questions and templates for you that you can follow if you're not sure how to get started with surveys. There's a version for family daycare, and there's also a version for center-based care because they're slightly different with their needs. What are they worried about when they're seeking care for their children? So, you know, this can be very different depending on the area that you're in. And I'm not saying you want all the same people in your service, that you're just going to target the, you know, just the high income workers, you know, who perhaps have two cars and, you know, they're working parents and all of that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying know what's in your area, who's in your area, and, you know, who you would like to target, you know, who you think would find your service helpful. So it doesn't, it's not about saying, oh, you're my perfect customer, so I want you. It's about saying, I know my community really well. I know who needs childcare services at the moment. I know who needs support. This is what would support them. This is how we could support them. And this is what they'd find useful. This is what they're finding frustrating at the moment. This is what they like to do in their free time. These are the sorts of hours they need because we have a higher ratio of working to non-working, or perhaps we have a high ratio of studying and shift workers and essential workers. So we need some, you know, our hours suit that dynamic. So ask these questions because that is what's helping you form the overall picture. It's not about finding the perfect person and blocking out all the rest. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to better understand who's in your community looking for your early learning service, and you want to target your marketing and your messaging and your branding toward these people. So here's how you can take action. Use the information you collect after asking these questions or doing some surveys of your own. You can ask different questions. You can just form the information, you know, gather the information from anything you've collected so far, and write your perfect customer story. So remember, when I'm saying perfect customer, that's your, are they perfect for, is your service perfect for them? I've provided a simple template, it's just very simple to help you get started. And just think of it as you're writing a little bit of a story. So I give you some lines to start with, but it's really just about you saying, you know, my perfect customer is working full-time at the moment, so needs at least 8 hours of care. They live such and such this far away from the server. You know, just explore the information that you've already got. It might seem like an extra step you don't have time for, but this simple exercise will make a huge impact on the success of your marketing and the number of vacancies you fill. And you could also be asking yourself, you know, it's important to know the culture and the diversity of your community, and, you know, how you could better provide services and appeal and, you know, provide support to that part of your community as well. Often this sort of exercise can help you to see that you've been targeting your information to a certain type of family or customer, and perhaps you're missing out on a whole lot of other people because, the way you're marketing or the way you're sending out your message isn't speaking to those people in a way that they understand or is, you know, something that draws them in or makes them feel like they would belong with your service. So hopefully that makes sense. But the idea of writing that story, and it's just got to be a quick little paragraph, but it helps you see this person in your mind's eye and know what is important to them and how you can then help with your service. So, and you'll go back to this information whenever you plan a promotion, and I'd encourage you to do regular surveys throughout the year as well, or just collect information from families and community members, just so you can see where you're heading and, you know, any improvements and changes that you might like to make to appeal to a wider audience, a wider market. So yeah, just stepping back a little bit and thinking in terms of those. I've outlined them in your marketing plan along with the story, so you can again jot down some answers into that if you like and use that information, or just go and research the information that you've already got and put some of that together. And of course, you know, especially if you're in family daycare, but you know the families in your care and the children well anyway. So often we know a lot about their background, and you should be collecting this information in your orientation processes, you know, about their family dynamics and their culture, their family culture, and what's important to them and what their needs are and when it comes to care for their children. So just think about what you already know as well and bring that into your story. So now you've got to define your mission to attract the staff and families that best suit your service, especially with family daycare when you've got a lower number of children and families in your care. These families are the ones that are more likely to hang around and also become your most positive supporter to others. So you have to first define what's important to you. Because remember, I'm saying you need to get that message out. We want you to be top, you know, the first name on everyone's lips in the Facebook groups and the parent groups or the play group down the road. But to do that, you first, to attract these families that best suit your particular service, you have to know first, you have to define your purpose, your services that you choose to offer, say your philosophy, the way that you work, what your environment is all about, the way that you choose to work each day. And you have to be able to communicate that. So take a little bit to define your identity, your values and mission, which you've probably already done anyway with your philosophy. And you've got to be really aware, especially when you're working in a center, of your service philosophy, but also with your family daycare scheme. But I encourage every educator and leader to do their own, have your own philosophy as well. And I used to always include that in my parent handbooks, my, you know, welcome and information books for prospective enrollments. And just know what principles, what values, what perspectives come together to inform the way you work and what you would like to be known for. And, you know, I like to explain that a little bit in a welcome pack. So people, families know straight up, this is what I do. For example, I would say in mind that we do a lot of outside play. I prefer children to be in old clothes because they will get messy. We quite often play with mud. We'll get wet. We have paint. I don't use aprons. And so I would know that those parents that aren't comfortable with this perspective and with this philosophy knew that it wasn't a good match for their child. And that was fine. And that was better for me, for the children I had in care and the families already in care who preferred that style of support and education. And it wasn't saying that the other family was wrong in any way. It was just saying, I don't think I'll be your best match. So if you know what you want to do, it's no good. You know, this is better for you to know and also connect with, you know, wherever you're working, that services philosophy. Because if you don't fully understand that and you're not fully on board with that and you can't explain your mission and purpose to others, then you can't expect that families and parents and carers will understand. And it can cause a lot of problems down the track, especially in family daycare, if you haven't been really clear. And suddenly these children come into care and it's just, I mean, you know that moment where it's just, you realize you've made a mistake and it's going to be a bit of a nightmare. And it might have nothing to do with the child's behavior or anything like that, but more about the family and what their expectations are. And it comes down to that really clear communication at the beginning, right at the beginning, and being brave enough to say, no, look, I don't think you are going to be, you know, I don't think we're a great match. And there's many ways you can say that, and you'll find tips in Member Hub that I've got specifically for family daycare there. If you look on the Simple Series page, there's some books there. I'll see what I can link to under the video. But think about, what is it that your particular service sets you apart from others? What makes you stand out from your competitors? What makes you stand out from the family daycare educator down the road or the childcare center that's on the next block to you? You know, what makes you stand out? Even if you're the same, I don't want to mention any big names here of centers, if you're one of those larger centres that's run, you know, from a head office, it doesn't mean that the one around the block is going to be exactly the same. Yes, they may have the same philosophy. Yes, they've often got the same equipment. Yes, they've often got the same guidelines you have to follow. But it comes down to the personality of your center, the educators and the team you've got working in your center, your environments and what you've done with them, your planning. So there's still a lot that you can inject into your service to make it unique. So you need to know what that is, because we want to tell others about it. What do you think you do really well? What do you love about working with children and families? This is all information you can put into your messaging, your branding. I always have it in my welcome guides and things like that. So you set the tone right from the start. And even if people don't decide to enroll with you or go with you, they've kept you in mind, you know, and the next person that asks, it might be, you know, a friend or something at the swimming lessons on Saturday, and they say, oh yeah, we were looking at putting Jimmy into such and such because, like, but I don't have the money at the moment, or whatever it might be. But still, you know, you've made an impression. So let's make a good impression, and let's be confident in what you offer and your services and how you can stand out, because you're doing a great job. So make sure that you shout that from the rooftops and tell them why it's a good job. So as I mentioned before, you're running a business, guys. So don't feel guilty when you think in terms of your service being a business. So I'm speaking especially to our family daycare educators here, because you are also running a business, which a lot of people seem to gloss over, because you're also an educator and you've got all those roles and responsibilities. But hang on, you're still also running a business. There's a lot of paperwork, there's accounting, there's tax, there's, you know, there's a lot. So creating your marketing plan means it's time to take off the sun hat you're hiding under and put those X-ray goggles onto your competition instead. We want to start looking, drilling down and looking at your competition. Remember I've said that, you know, the one around the block might be a little bit, you know, might be different. You need to know what's happening with your competitors, because yes, even if you're all in the same family daycare scheme, or you're all under the same large childcare center conglomerate, whatever, you still, or even if you're the one setting the promotion for those centers, you still need to take into account what the competition in your area is doing. Just because your scheme or your head office tells you to follow this specific philosophy or marketing strategy doesn't mean you can't tweak it and add in a little personality of your own and to know what's around. So identify the main competitors in your market so you know what you can do better as well. Think about what's the current ratio of family daycare, outside school hours care, occasional care centers, and long day care in your area, because that also tells you a lot about, you know, what families in your area are needing. What are these services' average daily fees? What are their average hours of operation? Way back when I first started, there was a lot of half day, long day in long day care centers. So there would be a lot of options to just do a half day, and they left at lunchtime and then a long day. And, you know, there's not as much of that nowadays because everyone wants them to do the, you know, the full day, the full hours because of the benefits and things. But this can come into play more than you think. Our different hours, and sometimes, you know, having that more, that flexibility in hours can be a really great selling point. Not everyone can do that, especially, but family daycare, this is a really great marketing point for you to be able to say that you are, you know, open from here, or you're flexible and you can just open for, you know, longer hours when they need it, things like that. But you've got to obviously know what works for you and your family as well. Don't just say you can work every hour under the sun because you want to fill vacancies, because all that's going to do is leave you feeling overwhelmed and stressed and not at your best self for the kids anyway. Who would you identify as your top competitor? Pick one out, because I've got an activity for you to do in a little bit. What do you think they're doing really well? You don't have to answer all these questions, but just it's the same as when you're thinking about your target market. I just want to get you thinking about, you know, things that they might be doing really well, things that you think they could do better and that you're already doing better. What are they offering that you don't? Is it something you'd consider offering, or could you twist that around in a different way and say you already do this because it's been part of your philosophy and routine for a long time? What promotional strategies do they use? I know a lot of the big centers use some very interesting strategies with giving away iPads and all sorts of different things. You don't need to go on that big level. You want, because often I'll tell you what happens, and is people join up, they grab that. It's the same with the Empowered Educator. When I offer free resources that are really professional and I think really worth a lot, but I put it out there to help. But a lot of the people that do these things and grab their, imagine I'm saying here, air quotes, freebies, whatever that is, whether it's the iPad because you've joined up for a month at the center, or you've, gotten one of my books that I've made free for a certain period of time to help you with something specific. These people tend to only use your service for a short amount of time. And I'm not saying everyone that opts in for a freebie is that by any means. I have lovely readers and educators that have been with me way back when I used to write a blog called Mummy Musings and Mayhem, and I used to, so way back then, and they still enjoy getting those freebies, and I'm happy for them to use them because I know they use the information. But there's a lot of people out there who will just take these freebie type offers that you give them, and they're not going to be your target family who stays with you, who's, you know, for longevity. They're not going to be the people that go away in a year's time or 6 months' time and recommend you to others. They're just going to say, yeah, I got a free iPad, or yeah, I got that free ebook from her or checklist. So just think about that. It can work really well, but you have to be you have to go into those sorts of promotions with your eyes wide open, I think, because it can backfire on you, because then you still have a high turnover because these people are just joining or coming for the particular freebie or, you know, special promotion that you had at the time. So just be aware of that, especially in centers when you're creating those offers. Think about, I want you to really drill down on what makes you unique. What makes you feel unique as a service? Whether that's in a center, is it your environments, whether you're in family daycare and it's, your home and the way you've set things up and the extra attention you can give to the children. Perhaps it's the excursions you go on, when we're allowed to go on excursions again. But what makes you really unique? Perhaps you're, doing some bush kindy or river kindy, all these different things. Just because you offer it doesn't mean everyone else offers it. So you want to know what those things are. Know what your competitor is not doing, that you already are, and then focus on that and do it really, really well and make sure everyone knows about it. So now you've answered those questions, I want you to create a visual profile for your top competitor and one for your service. And you can do this on your own or with others by using two different colored sticky note columns. A bit like if you've watched my five steps, my five stepping stones to planning, you can see that, to assessment, sorry. You'll know I did a little sticky note, the sticky note party, and this is the same sort of thing. Right, review what you see, then begin a third column by moving the sticky notes across into your column, and they'll highlight things you want to change or improve, things you're doing well, and things that make you stand out from this competitor that you could build on in your own marketing as well. So next we're going to talk about, what is your branding? When you want to be the first name that every potential new enrollment mentions, you need to have a recognizable brand, my friends. How do you start the process of building a brand for yourself and including it throughout your marketing? And please don't say, I'm just a little family daycare educator. I can't, you know, why do I'm not a brand. You are, you're a personal brand. So I want you to work really hard to develop a brand that encompasses your vision, your goals, and your philosophy. And when someone sees your logo, they think of you. What do you want people to feel, to recognize or identify with when they see your logo? What three words? Think about this. I find this really helpful. What three words would I use to describe my personality, your brand personality? So when I say that, I'm talking about your service, the way you work, the things that you offer, your everyday ethos. You know, what three words would you use to describe that? What do I want to communicate to potential customers with my logo tagline? So that's the little line that often you will put under the, like the Empowered Educator has the one under the top there, that I give resources and inspire educators who just want to go keep it simple. So think about what you're going to put there. And then you want to identify and create the tools that you'll need to establish your brand. What color theme will I stick to in promotion materials? So for example, the Empowered Educator, as you can see, I tend to have that. I have green, I have black, and I have red. And they're my core colors. What fonts will I be using regularly in promotion materials? So you can write these, all of these things down. What style of images do I want to use? So when I say that, you might be thinking that's a bit weird, but think about it. I personally don't like clip art images, the little cartoony clip art images for my brand. You know, I don't mind in anyone else's, obviously, but I just personally prefer real photos, either ones I've taken myself or ones like you see in my presentations and things that are stock photos. But that's just my branding. That's what I prefer and how I like to, because I like to keep it real and I like to keep it simple. And I like people to be able to identify with, you know, children and the things that you're already doing, rather than I just find for me those little clip art characters that a lot of the primary resources and things have, they drive me a bit nuts because they don't look like real children and they don't look like real things. But that's just me. And that's, you know, a lot of people over the years have asked me about that sort of stuff. Do I do printables like that? And I have to say no to those people, but I have to stay true to my brand personality and what's important to me. And I will send them to people I think can help with those sorts of resources, but it's just not me. So sometimes you have to be a little bit assertive and a little bit stronger and say, well, I can't do everything for everyone, but, you know, I've got to stay true to myself and appeal to the people that, you know, can make that connection with me and the way that I speak as well. So that's what I mean with style of images, but there's all sorts of images. You might be thinking about line drawings. It could be cartoons. It could be, you know, there's lots of styles of images out there, but I'd encourage you just to pick a certain style that you want to go with and stick with that. If it's sort of nature-based, if it's lots of children having fun, if it's a really diverse style of images. So think about those things. So here's our action step for this section. I want you to get your craft on now and make a brand mood collage. So you can also do this on the computer and just type it in. But guys, collage is more fun, obviously. And you get the glue out and you get to do it. You can do it with the kids if you want to. Make it into an activity. But, you know, what's a branding mood board? I know you've probably heard of them, and if you're on Pinterest, you'll see them all over the place. But it's simply, when we boil it down, it's simply a collection of the visual tools that you want to use. So like we were just talking about, the colors, the image style, the text fonts. Try and pick out just one or two. Like, have one for headings, the main font that you use for headings, and one for text. Excuse me, wheezing in your ear here at the moment. The asthma is playing up. It provides inspiration, and reflects the brand image you want to start putting out there into your community. And a really good thing to do is once you've got your mood board, your mood collage set up, show it to the children, show it to the families that are already using your service, show it to other educators, and ask them what word comes to mind, or what do they think? Do they like the colors? You know, what does it say to them? What do they think it says about you? What do they like most? What don't they like? And get a little bit of a feel for what people are saying about it. And you might decide you want to tweak your colors or tweak the images, something like that. But I really encourage you to do this exercise. It's a lot of fun. And it really helps you, visualize what your brand personality looks like. And then you're going to use all this great, fantastic work you've been doing in your promotional strategies. So you know who your target market is now. So when you've done the work, and you've got to do the work, guys, I've given you all the tools, and I've made it as easy as I can. And I don't want you thinking this is a waste of time. I really want you to try and get into this. And you can, members, you can pop into our Facebook group and I will help you out with it, help you out with the questions and things if you want to throw some ideas around to our other members. But pop into the group and ask. If you're not on the Facebook, our community group, you can also email support@, or just fill in your member form on the member page. You've spent some time sorting out your business personality. Remember, we've talked about personality, philosophy, branding. You know who your target market is. You know what your competitors are doing and what you're doing better. But you're not there yet. Just creating a marketing plan that looks good on paper isn't enough, guys. You'll also need to brainstorm and plan the promotion strategies that you will action throughout the year. And this is the fun part. This helps you plan ahead, avoid those vacancies, avoid that, vacancy roller coaster up and down, and also communicate goals and action steps to others involved in your service. And yes, that includes you as well. Family daycare operators, you've got a coordinator to talk to. You can still work with your scheme on these things, even if they prefer to do the marketing and promotion. Or if you are a coordinator watching this or your scheme is watching this, I would encourage you to work more closely with your educators throughout your service, throughout your community. I mean, I know in my area, there's lots of different regions that, the one or two service the scheme covers. So there's a real diverse, and there's a lot of diverse communities there. And where I live in here in Lismore is very different to where I used to visit carers as a CDO, and I'd go out to Casino and Kyogle, which are 30 minutes and 40 minutes away, and a lot more rural and regional. And there's just different and diverse needs, and there's different ways to market to those communities as well, and different ways for you to provide services to those communities as well, especially, if you're out in a farming area. And, I used to love visiting some places with the children that were off the farms, and the way that, the things that they enjoyed doing were a little different to many of the children that I visited here in Lismore. So just, think about where you are as well, and how you could work with your coordination unit or with your center management as well. So we're going to take a look at some ideas. I'm going to give you some ideas. They're also in your marketing plan guide, so you can revisit them later. But these are just some ideas. I would encourage you to definitely find, to add to this list, to take out the ones that work for you, and to keep this as a document of, a bank of ideas that you can keep building on. And you'll come back and forth and say, this worked. No, this didn't work. I'm going to give that a go. So let's look at some of the tactics you can use to help get your brand and reputation out there and keep those enrollments coming in consistently. So let's now talk about planning out the promotions that you're going to use, because you know, the theme of this is that you're going to look a little bit ahead of time. And some of these promotions you can be doing year round. Others you might choose to use at just special promotion times throughout the year, special events and celebrations or things that your early learning service might, you know, promote or celebrate, or, you know, depending on your community. But the trick is to review and measure that performance and make changes if you need to. Just because we write out a marketing plan, it doesn't actually mean that you have to stick rigidly to it. It's not, you know, it's the same sort of thing as writing your program. You there might be activities on there that you don't get done in a week, and that's highly likely for us all. So don't try to do all the things all at once. Choose a few promotions that you want to give a try, or if you've already been using certain things like doing letterbox drops or things like that, then go ahead and do those. And, you know, if you know that they're already working, then focus a little bit more energy into that. It might mean you want to create some better looking brochures or flyers. You might want to get them printed professionally, or perhaps, you know, you're doing something just a little bit different. But you can really extend on whatever you're already doing. You don't have to try all the new things all at once. So I'm going to give you some ideas throughout this, and you can find this in the slide guide that is under, that's a PDF I've made for you of the slides, and you can download that. It'll be under the video for you. But so don't feel like you've got to write these down or anything. These are just some ideas. You'll have more, as I mentioned before. I'm sure you've got your own that you've been trying, or that others you've seen doing well. But remember, we're going to bring in that information you're gaining about your who you're marketing to, and also what your competitors are doing, and you're thinking about what they're doing well, as you know, that you could do, and what is unique about you, and what therefore that information would be suitable to promotion. So some things you could try. I know a lot of people are scared about doing some paid Facebook advertising, but you can, you know, it doesn't have to cost you a lot. If you just target, you can target your local area, you can target families, like you can really drill down, and you don't have to be sending your ad out to everyone on the web. You can actually just target your local area, and you can get really specific with who you want to see your ad in their feed on Facebook. And I'm going to do a separate ad, just setting up a separate video for you, just setting up a basic ad and showing you how to target local communities and things like that. For those of you that are interested, that'll be coming soon. It was no point trying to fit it into this, because Facebook advertising and social media is a whole topic on its own. So I'm going to do a couple of little toolbox videos on those topics, but it's something to think about and keep in mind. You can set up many family daycare educators I know, and also centers have now set up their own Facebook business page. And something to remember, if you do want to use paid Facebook advertising, you will need a Facebook business page. Even if you don't use it so much or post a lot on it, you will need that page, because Facebook require you to have a business page. But you can include family testimonials, you can have reviews on there as well, you can share images and things about what the children are doing, with permission, of course. And, you know, that can be a really great way to put your brand front and center, and to really communicate to your market out there and families that, you know, what your philosophy is, and what your, you know, what you stand for, and what you feel is important, and what you can offer them in return, and why they should be thinking about you. You can engage and be helpful on Facebook and other social media. So you can, there's a lot, as we know, there's a lot of groups, and I know a lot of educators, especially family daycare, you guys will go into, you know, the parenting groups in your local area, and it can be tempting to just continually advertise yourself in there, but that, rather than giving you a great name, it sort of starts coming across in groups like that on Facebook as spamming, and a lot of moderators also don't like people continually advertising in that way. But what you can do is also jump in and answer, you know, questions that parents might be asking. So you can show your authority and, you know, your training and your knowledge of young children, and you're actually helping them at the same time. And then you can slip in that, yeah, you know, that's something I try with my children, you know, in the family daycare, you know, service that I run at, you know, in such and such. But there's ways of sort of, you know, you want to help others first and foremost in those groups, or join in the conversations rather than always just be saying, here's me, you know, we have vacancies. You know, that's not really telling a parent or a carer who you are and what you do. It's just saying, this is my service. I want you to pay money because we've got vacancies and we need you now. You want to think about what it is that you can, but this is where it comes to knowing your market. You know, what are they frustrated by? What do they like? All of those sort of things. This is what you're bringing into your promotions. And that's the best way to use Facebook and also Instagram to be, you can stir up inspiration and show your environments and things like that. But you also, because we know Instagram's a lot about that, you know, doesn't that look great? But you also want people to be saying, I could picture my child there, or this is the sort of thing that I feel childcare should be, or this is how I want my child to spend their day while I'm at work. So you want to try and invoke that sort of connection and a little bit of emotion as well with whatever you're sharing on social media, rather than it just being always about an ad to, you know, come and see your service because there's a vacancy or something like that. So I hope that makes sense. Connect and network with local real estate agents can be a really good one to do, and leave some ask if you can leave some brochures with them, or you know, just mention what's in the area. Offer free community workshops presented by educators or other experts. So that might be at your center. That might be something that the family daycare scheme coordination unit as a whole could do. Set up displays at markets, car boot sales, and community events. And I know many of you probably have already done that and done the helium balloons. I know I've stood many a time at a table, you know, at the shopping center, blowing up helium balloons and handing them out. And, you know, it is a good, you know, can be a really great way to connect with families and certainly with children. But just try and, you know, go that extra mile, try and offer something a little bit different than the table out the front with, you know, a puzzle and some Play-Doh or blocks. You know, think about what could you do that was really unique and show something a little bit special about your service as well. So, Linda, Janelle, sorry, this one's from Janelle from Curious by Nature Family Daycare, shared with us some images of some things she set up with her Facebook page. And it's very easy to set up. I've included a video, actually, I'll pop it underneath this video. It's a toolbox video that you can watch about how to set up a Facebook page. And I've also done one about how to set up a Facebook group if you're using that as a way to communicate with parents. So if you're a little bit iffy about how to set up a business page and a Facebook group, make sure you have a look at those quick toolbox videos, and I take you on a walkthrough of how to set them up. And that's a really good first step before you move on to Facebook ads as well. Now, so you've got things like, you know, the t-shirts. And this one is something I used as well from Vistaprint. You can just get those magnetic signs printed up and always have them on your car. So I know many educators already do that. Many businesses do that. But it's a really great way of, you know, advertising and just getting your brand out there when you're not really trying. Just be aware that you might want to take it off sometimes, especially if you're family daycare and you don't want a lot of questions. You can collect, as I've mentioned, positive feedback to use in future promotions. So you can be putting that feedback, even if you're not including their names, even if parents would rather remain anonymous, you can still have that information included on your brochures, in your welcome packs, your guides, any advertising that you're doing. You know, try and have sprinkle a few testimonials and positive feedback throughout whatever you're sending out there into the community. You can order branded items like pens and cups and drink bottles and t-shirts. I'm not going to go through all of these. You guys read through them later. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mainly use these types of things, like, for example, the bag here. I also got them printed at Vista Print here. Gosh, can you tell it's the afternoon here in Australia? But you know, many similar, and it's just a plain calico bag with my logo, Family Daycare logo on it. And the reason I had that though is whenever you're out at places like the library, shopping, playgroups, the park was one I quite often would take. And so people see the children play and you've sort of got it on your bag there the whole time. So as long as you're obviously making sure you're professional in your approach and your demeanor as well, then people are going to, you'll find people who approach you. So always have your business cards on you as well. And then you can hand them out straight away and say, yeah, give me a call or email me and I can email you back a welcome pack, or I can, you know, send that out to you. And also with the children, so I know many have hats. I loved the hats. The children loved the hats and so did the families as well. And, you know, they were always there. I always had spares, so we didn't have to worry so much about who'd forgotten a hat. But then they'll wear them out to the beach on the weekend. They'll wear them to, you know, gymnastics class. They'll wear them over here and people will ask, you know, where did you get that hat, or what is that the daycare they go to? And you'll find children are wearing them long after they've actually left your daycare as well, because they fit for quite a long time, bucket hats. So, you know, they're the gift that keeps on giving, really. You can add a virtual tour option on your website or blog, especially nowadays when, you know, visits have become harder in person for people. This is a really great way to just show people around your service. And it doesn't have to be just those that work in a large center. This works really well for family daycare as well. It doesn't take you much. Just get out your mobile phone, hit record, and you know, you don't need to do it all fancy and edit everything, and you know, just keep it real. People want to see your service and you as a person, and know, you know, they want to feel your personality and again connect with that emotion. So the more real you keep it, it's even better. Another thing you can do is donate new books to waiting rooms and libraries, and you just pop a little sticker inside the front cover, donated by, and we also got access to them from Vistaprint, got them printed. You can, you know, I'm just mentioning them because that's, they're quite readily accessible. I know they have them in different parts of the world as well. But you know, it's just something very similar to that. You'll find if you just do a bit of a Google search. You can record some short video testimonials from happy families if they're willing to do that for you. And that's something else you can include on your website, or perhaps you have them playing during, you know, when you've got parent meetings and things happening, enrollment visits and that sort of thing. Linda from Sunshine and Puddles Family Daycare shared her wonderful shirts and the fact she's incorporated her logo onto that. She has done herself a website as well. So I would really encourage you guys to try and at least get a basic website happening, because most parents today will search there and social media, but they want to know more. They want to see pictures. They want to see what your philosophy is. They want to know a bit about you. They want to see what sort of children are in your care and the sort of activities and things that you do and what your environment is. And a website is a really great way to put all of that in there. And you don't need to have something with, you know, a million pages on there and have it looking really fancy, just professional. You don't even need to pay someone. There's really, you know, some really great tools out there now to help you set them up and just have a really basic page. So really consider that. If it's something that you guys would like some more information on or are interested in, let me know and I can look into doing a tutorial video with how to set up your own website, if you think you would find that helpful. You can host some open or fun days. In this picture up here, this is the one I was using for stickers. as well, like I mentioned before, parent information books. I encourage you to always have a parent information, or, you know, or a welcome kit, or just some sort of information kit, because it's just, I would always have some printed out, and I had them in little folders with my sticker on the front and also a business card in there. Make it as easy as possible for parents and prospective families to find the information they need that'll make them say, yes, this is so well organized, it bodes well, I'm just going to go with them because I like how my questions are addressed, I know what's going on, I see your, you know, the hours of operation, I got my, you know, I can see it, everything's here, I haven't had to put myself out to try and get this information. So the easier you make it, and the clearer you are by using these parent information books, means that, remember, we're going back to just attracting that perfect customer, so someone that will really work for your service just as much as you will offer them support and give them what they need for their family and their children. So things like the brochures, try and include not as much text, more images and photos, because that's what we like to see. I want to see your environment. I want to see where my children are going to play. I want to see that you go outside. I want to see if your family daycare, I want to know what that looks like with your family around and what happens with the rest of your house and where the children are allowed to play, where are they not allowed to play, do we go on excursions, is there a photo of that I can see. For centers, you want to make sure if you've got different outdoor areas that's clearly defined and explained in your brochures. You want photos of the different age groups and rooms. I would also consider having some separate brochures for the different age groups, because the families, you know, who may just have children going into those separate age groups will want something. The preschool parent wants something a little bit different to what the baby and toddler, someone putting a baby into care, wants. So just think about how you can use your brochures, not so much to make people sit down and, you know, say, okay, here's three pages fold out of text. You can sit down and that's all the information you need to know. You want to make that connection. We're striving for that emotional connection, and images will do that every time, especially if there's images of the children at play, with permission, of course, but also if you have, you can see environment pictures here. This was just a quick one that I did, posted a stick up at our local library and community centres and things like that, so it was a bit bigger, but you could also fold it up as a brochure as well. But, you know, if they can show that connection, and also some quotes is really good. If you've got just some snippets from the children, so you can include their voices into your advertising as well. This example was shared by Alison from Play Adventures Family Daycare, and I just love the images that she's put it to me. They evoke it. It's friendly. It's at home. It's, you know, the children obviously feel safe here. They can experiment. And she's got her information on here as well. I think it's always important to have what your hours are and what days you're open. If you're flexible with your hours, then put that on your advertising so parents don't go, oh, she closes at 5. Well, that's not going to be any good for me, and not read further. If they see that you're flexible with hours, then you can open up a conversation. I mean, if you're not, if they're your core hours, I encourage you to stick to those hours. Don't just, you know, lengthen all of your work hours just to take on, you know, to fill vacancies and take on parents, because you end up stressed and overwhelmed. So, put together photo books is another one that I found really helpful. I'll just flick through to here so you can see. So the photo books I did, you can have them in hard copy. Again, you just get them printed, choose your photos, print them out. I did some simple text in ours, and the children loved them for a start, but also every parent, prospective parent that came in loved to just flip through them, and they're a really great way of showing succinctly without me needing to, or you needing to sit there the whole time and try and explain everything you do in your day. You can just let them flick through and see it in the photos right in front of them, and they can see the children engaging. And you can also, most of them let you do like a digital file now that you could possibly email to prospective parents as well, or your current parents, just so the children can have a look. You could do their own book up. But these are the sort of things that stick in people's minds. And, you know, there's no denying that there's no saying that you're making up what they're doing or that the kids don't really do this if you can actually see that in photos right there in front of you in a little book. And it's also a really great conversation starter for parents and the children when they come on those awkward, you know, welcome sort of visits or intro visits as well. You know, most of these, I'm sure, get some banner. Like if you've got a fence going out, we have a fence going out to quite a main road here. So I made sure to put a banner, get that. It's just a canvas one. Again, it was through Vistaprint and, you know, you just tied it up. And when you don't want it there anymore, take it off. But it's great to have on your walls, on your fences, all that, you know, wherever you think that people are seeing as they're going past. And this is where your branding is really important as well. You want to make sure it's consistent and it's going across all of your advertising. So your brochures, your signs, your stickers, your logo, everything's there and it can be connected. So perhaps they're seeing it over here and then they've just gone down the road and they've seen it on that child's hat again. And then they've just seen it on someone else's drink bottle that their the siblings using at school. So, you know, just get your message and your brand out there and your personality and be that first name that people think of that's top of mind. Another great place is but you need to ask if you can leave some brochures anywhere frequented by families, like libraries, early childhood centers, families, family doctors, play groups. So you don't want to do it every, and you need to be respectful and ask. Same as when you're doing community notice boards, they usually prefer that you ask before you put things up. And, don't treat that as your own, as the only thing that you're going to do, because that's not really injecting anything behind the scenes. So you might have that brand out there, but we still want to follow up with some bigger interactions, like your theme days, you know, like a morning tea event. Like there's some more here. Oh, sorry, I should just mention this was also Alison. This was her. I just wanted to show you her her logo because I thought it was really playful. Try and inject your personality into your logos and your colors and your branding again, and they'll look really great on your business cards and your brochures and all of that, anything that you use really. You want to build your assets, so collect and sort photos of your environments and children at play, record any video tours or special events that are happening. This is all about building up. Think of it like a library of assets that you can use to include into your marketing and include to engage parents in the community. Set up a dedicated space to collect and save those testimonials. So you might have a survey and you might collect this information. What are you doing with it? Do you know where it's going? Are you keeping it? Are you collating it? Are you doing something with that information? Regularly update your family enrollment and orientation processes. You want to ensure it's ready to go online and in person. So that's what I was mentioning before about the parent handbook. I always had some printed in hard copy format, ready to go, just in a manila folder, nothing special. There's plenty of nice folders you can put things in nowadays. But I also had that as a PDF file so that if anyone wanted to just leave me their email, especially over the phone, you're talking and you're busy with the children, I was just, look, if I can get an information pack out to you, would you like that if you give me your email? And then you've got their email as well to follow up with some further contact with them. And I found that that was a really great way to connect with parents, and that gave them time to look through that and come up with any questions they had. So by the time we next met or they next called, they hadn't wasted my time because they had seen the information that I put in my parent handbook or information book. So they knew what my service was about. Remember when I was mentioning, you know, I said in mine that we do a lot of outside play. The children will get dirty, so I expect they would wear their play clothes, not their best going to, you know, an outing close, children will get messy. And that's the sort of philosophy that I have, lots of hands-on play and that sort of thing. So if that parent was reading that and decided, no, that's not really for me or my child, then they, you know, I'm not wasting my time answering questions, or setting up meet and greet visits when you're busy, when I'm busy with the children, if I know if they're not going to be that perfect match anyway. Make sure you're creating engaging display areas that allow others to take a little bit of a sneak peek. So even if, say, in your center, you've got that foyer area, and quite often there's some nice photos and things in there, but you need to make sure that it catches the eye straight away, especially if they're waiting at the front desk or they're sitting in the chairs, usually with their child there. So something that's at child height as well. This is an area where having your photo books are really great as well, so they can be flicking through those before, or if they're having to wait for a while. And just some things on the wall that shows the play and the learning in action, and a little snippet about the environments. And because with one walkthrough, you don't always see what you want to see. It's a lot to take in. So it's good to have that as a little follow-up, and some brochures or a poster there that they can take with them along with their welcome, their information pack as well, just so they can go back over that information. Always share highlights from your service on your Facebook page, your Instagram, your website, in those ways I was talking about. Ensure prospective families and visitors feel safe with clear indicators of how you've put extra health and safety measures in place. At the time of recording this, the COVID pandemic is still very much in play around the world. We're not feeling it as badly now. We're starting to come out of it in Australia, but I know our friends overseas are still having a hard time of it. So you want to make sure that prospective families and visitors really feel safe, and that they can see you're taking this seriously. This is their children, and, you know, how are these measures being put in place? So you don't have to go overboard with it. You don't have to scare anyone. You just have to, you know, something that we probably didn't talk so much about before, health and hygiene of a center or your family daycare service. But now we need to be mentioning these things. And just in case you're wondering, these things here, you can see, are all in Member Hub. So if you can't find them, just use the search filter or ask, send me through a message from that little red question bubble that you see on your homepage, and I'll record a little video with you that'll take you through how to find things. But it's good to have these displays. I like the playful learning posters because the information I've put on them is very simple, and they're meant to engage parents and tell them about the benefits of just, you know, playing. So the children are just playing, but they're actually learning this, this, and this. But I've kept it really simple. There's ways to, there's parent surveys that I mentioned before. So I've got the templates and things for you. There's portfolios and signs. There's also, you can do things like this too, is how to play and learn at home series was created so educators can work with parents who were, and children who were at home during lockdowns. And it's a way to keep those connections going and keep people coming back to your service when they can. So just because they may not be able to get to your service at the moment doesn't mean you can't keep that connection going. And, you know, when they do come back, they're going to come back to you and not someone else. So let's take some action. I want you to choose three promotional activities from the list that I've provided, or something that's already working well for you and perhaps you want to extend on it a little bit, and add them into your marketing plan template that I've given you. And as you complete each promotion, so write them in on your calendar as well. As you complete them, come back to your plan and review if they were effective or if you want to make any changes. Make it a priority to always be collecting your assets. So your assets are the things we were just talking about here. So you'll find a lot of those things that you can help you build those assets inside Member Hub. That's why I create them for you, so you can build these things and they all come together for you. but you will have your own as well. And depending on your service type, there may be some other features as well that you can bring into your marketing and use them as assets. So you want to keep hopefully throughout this presentation, you've seen that consistency is the key. We're building up to things. I would start with three main promotions and maybe do a couple in between, plan out a couple in between that are just smaller ones like letterbox drops or, you know, just your basic dropping some brochures off or doing a meeting at the a local playgroup or something, just raising awareness. So not so much, you know, a full-on promotion activity, but you can sprinkle a few of those throughout the year. But your three core, I would do three main promotions, sort of near the beginning of the year, near the middle, and then again near the end. Because most people get very busy at the end of the year, especially in childcare, and we start thinking, oh, we're winding down, I'll get into advertising vacancies on, you know, in January and February. But by then, guys, it's really a little bit late, because families often move into a new area at the end of a year after school's finished and that sort of thing. They, you know, want to be ready for the start of a new year. Children are getting older and going on from preschool, moving into school, transitioning. You know, the baby, the toddler, their parent might be feeling ready now for them to go, but they want to start it from the next year. So November and December are actually a really good time to get strong with your marketing and get strong with a final promotion for the year. It wouldn't have to be, you don't want to, I would say November, you don't want it too close to that Christmas festive period with all the end of year chaos that ensues. So even if you think about October, November, just to start getting that name out there again, and so that you're top of mind and that first name on a parent's lips when someone says, oh, where are we going to go next year? I'm looking for somewhere for next year. That you notice in social media, they'll start asking in groups around that time. So don't fall into that trap of just waiting until January and then going, okay, I've got vacancies, come and fill them. People want to be organized before then, most people. Okay, you made it. I hope you found that helpful. Let's look at a few next steps, because I want you to take action on this. This isn't going to happen magically by itself, and it's certainly not about giving you a whole lot of homework or work to do. It's just a simple plan. You're not actually doing all the work for the promotions that you're going to do, or the brochures you want to create, or the Facebook page. You're not actually doing all that right now. You're just going to start gathering your information, start thinking about your branding. And if you've already got a logo and already got your colors and things like that, just, you know, have a little review of it. Is it still connecting with what you want to get out there in the community? There's nothing wrong with rebranding or tweaking things a little bit. And I've given you lots of tools. You'll have a slide guide in PDF form so you can revisit these slides and the questions. There's a marketing checklist inside the plan outline as well for you, and that template you can follow along and answer some of those questions or use them to put into surveys and things. There's the My Ideal Customer template that you can use. And I want you to plan those three promotions. So it's all about just getting something down, taking some action, even if it's just getting your notebook out. You don't have to use my template. You can use the questions as a base, have the slides there with you, and just go through with a piece of paper and a pen and start jotting down. January, what do I want to do in January? What do I want to do in February? And think about your goals. What do you want to achieve? Is there something specific? Is your goal that you want to create a logo this year and be more visible on social media? Or is it to have a waiting list of three families at all times? Is it that you want to do a 20% increase on your annual revenue? Think about what your goals are, what your marketing goals are, and what you want to achieve for your business. And you can always ask questions in our Member Hub Facebook group. It's private for members only, and we can start a discussion about this and help you out if you want to throw some ideas around for your current branding and marketing, or get some feedback. Please do share it with us. We'd love to help you and give you some feedback, as would fellow members. So don't feel you're alone in the process. And we're going to be talking about this a lot more, because I want you guys to be feeling organized, feeling like you're on top of those vacancies, that you've got the waiting list, and you're going to get off that roller coaster of up and down with vacancies or full, and worrying about, you know, if you're going to be making enough money to, you know, keep you going throughout the year. You want that security, and that's what I want to help you get this year. So hopefully this has been helpful for you. We'll talk more soon, and don't forget to look under the video for some of those handouts and things that I was talking about. Thanks for being here today, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.